This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello and welcome back to Parenting Uncovered. We are Dave and Ashley Willis, and we're so excited that you decided to join us today. You know, today we're going to talk about something that we have received so many messages about from you all, and that is, how do we recognize anxiety and depression in our children, and what do we do if we think our child is depressed or anxious? And we have Susan Thomas back with us, our licensed professional counselor and pastor in the house, and a friend of ours.
Resident expert. Well, yes. Great friend.
And so she's going to help us navigate this very hard subject. And I think it's one of those subjects too, Susan, that sometimes as parents, we don't even want to think that our child could be dealing with it. I mean, do you see that in working with the parents?
Oh, absolutely. I think deep inside the heart of every parent, you want your child to just be happy. I've heard that once and felt that. I want my child to thrive. I want them to be happy. Yeah. And so sometimes just even the denial that they may be going through something or not be happy is the first stop, because we just are happy in our house. Everybody needs to be okay.
Yeah. And so, like, I think where we can start, and I know this is going to look different in different ages, but we can start with kind of what are the signs. You want to start with depression?
Sure. I mean, really, depression or group them together. And anxiety, they have some similarities. I mean, there's some of the signposts that you can look for, such as change in behavior. They're just not acting the same way that they have before. I call it the dark cloud. Sometimes your child, and it's interesting because sometimes it'll happen over time. It's like the hot water theory. You know, you warm it up slowly. You don't recognize the temperature increase so quickly. But if you will just, God says we're to be people who are intentional with our kids. We're not to be lazy with our children. Sure. So aware as if that dark cloud starts to grow, or you look up one day and you're like, I think that you're in a different place than you were 6 months ago. Don't disregard that. Changes in their scholastic, if your kids are school aged, if they begin to have grades going down, or they begin to have changes in their relational situations, whether they all of a sudden are home all the time where they used to be out with friends, or just a significant change relationally. There are a lot of different things to look for. And change is really a big element. Change in fill in the blank. And that may begin to be a first indicator that something's going on. Right. With my child. And you have to have that awareness.
Yeah, we've seen that.
We've walked through it.
You know, our own kids, like, we've walked through, I mean, Ashley and I individually,
you
know, as adults, but, you know, we had one of our kids during a period of transition who really went through a pretty severe bout of anxiety and depression. And we didn't identify it correctly at first. I think we just thought, oh, well, he's in transition or he's this or it's that. And then we started putting the pieces together and realizing, like, oh, wow, he's really experiencing some pretty severe anxiety and depression.
We did. And there was one moment in particular, and Susan knows about this because you actually were key in helping our child. But it was during a big transition. It was during a move. And I remember it was one moment where we were like, we got to do something. It was the first day of school and he's going to the bus stop. And literally his mind in that moment snapped, and he had a fight or flight moment.
Wow.
And he started running away from the bus stop. Like, he ran, I mean, literally flight. Like, he just took flight, because he had been, that morning he was like, I don't know about my first day. Like, you could just tell he wasn't quite. And I'm like, it's just first day nerves, you know, because I think sometimes as parents, we're like, there are moments where we just have to say, come on, you can do this. Like, you know, and that's kind of where we were. And he was like, I don't know. I mean, maybe you guys can take me. Maybe I can go in late. And it was just kind of different, but we didn't think it was that bad until literally we drop him off and we're driving. And in my side mirror, I see him running. And like, he is legit running
away from the bus.
The bus.
He's gripped.
I mean, he was. And this is not his character at all. I mean, he's a very, like, driven kid, strong-willed kid. And I just was like, okay, wow, what's going on? So we ended up getting him. And he started, like, once we found him, he started crying, I mean, hysterically, and was like, I don't like this. And it was kind of like he had been, I think, willing himself. And he came to the point where he's like, something's wrong with me. Like, I'm off, you know? And I remember, Susan, I reached out to you, and I was like,
it wasn't just that, like, too, like, when we would leave town, which we do for work, you know, he would used to, we would leave town and he would like barely notice.
Yeah.
But he started calling us
at like 1 a.m.
Yeah. Like middle of the night, you know, mm-hmm. call and just, when are you going to be back? And I'm, you know, we could just tell he felt this peace in our prayer. We were a comfort.
We were, yes.
And he desperately needed any kind of form of comfort, yeah. but it was different than how he had responded yeah. in a pretty drastic way. And mm-hmm. there were a lot of things like that. That wasn't little. I don't want to say little things, but a lot of things that just created this pattern of making it pretty obvious, yeah. like, wow, you know, we need to get him some help. And we did it. Susan was yeah. instrumental. We got
she
him,
was, yeah.
You know, a referral to a great counselor. And that did help. That helped him
it
get some coping tools and
yeah.
it helped all of us kind of as a family. Mm-hmm. So like we've walked through this. I think now kind of our antenna's up a little more for mm-hmm. the younger kids if they start exhibiting some of that.
For sure, yeah. 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 And I think it is once you've had that experience because you're a little more aware.
Yes.
But I think sometimes, you know, we don't know what to do. And I do think, I think the pendulum has swung into a healthier place with counseling with parents.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like I remember real quick, and then I want you to speak into mm-hmm. this. But like when I was a kid, I was just recalling this with Dave the other day. I a lot of people, if you listen to the Naked Marriage podcast or even Parenting Uncovered, I've shared on here that I went through, you know, a 4-year bout with anxiety and depression shortly after Dave and I married and kind of when we had our children and things like that. But looking back and understanding the mind and how it works and my symptoms, I really had anxiety as a child. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was in fourth grade, I started exhibiting, I'd always been one who sang, like yeah. sang in, at church or different things. And all of a sudden I was in fourth grade at an art school. So singing was part of my school day. And I started having this thing that my mom referred to as IRPing. And basically it was, that's not like an official term, that's just what she called it. But it was me where I would be singing and all of a sudden I would be cut off, my oxygen would cut off. And it was like a spasm of sorts,
yeah.
okay?
Oh, yeah.
And she took me to a doctor, and the doctor's like, I don't notice anything at all. I don't know. And I mean, I it's like I wouldn't exhibit it there. And then it started bleeding into my talking. Like I would all of a sudden mm-hmm. just have this moment. And what we came to find out, like my mom eventually took me to a counselor, and the counselor wasn't a children's counselor. She was not as well versed in kids. And she ended up focusing on other things that probably did need to be addressed in our family, but weren't really why my parents brought me there. But looking back, and now that I know what I know,
yeah.
I totally had anxiety.
Mm.
Like it was 100% anxiety.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes our kids can have weird behaviors like that. Yeah. Weird's probably the wrong word, but a change yeah. in behavior. Mm. Like I had been singing without this disruption in my singing for a long time or talking, and all of a sudden I'm having like a hiccup. It's not hiccups, but it was like a hiccup. And then it would be like there was a weight on my chest yeah. and I couldn't get breath to sing. And then one time I had it happen in one of our performances at the art school and I'm literally, it was an anxiety attack.
Wow.
And it manifested in yeah, this, in
physical.
Front of everybody.
Oh, which only furthered the anxiety.
Oh my gosh, it did. And my mom too, wasn't well versed in this. And she's like, what are you doing? You know? And I remember, so it's like, I think sometimes yeah, it can be things like that.
The old school approach was snap out of it.
Like snap, yeah, she was yeah. like, yeah. like, what are you doing? And I was so embarrassed.
Yes.
And so I remember, you know, as a child, I didn't know that was anxiety.
Right.
So what would you say to a parent that yeah. would witness something like that?
Yeah. Well, again, with all of parenting, we're on a journey of just trying to figure out what in the world are we doing?
Yes.
What are we right. doing? And we can't predict what our child is going to have as their specific struggle. Mm-hmm. When you have multiple, they may each have completely different struggles. So you're mm-hmm. suddenly an expert in everything. No, it's not possible. But you do go to school. You do begin to learn, okay, how can I address this particular child's needs? When it comes to anxiety and depression, and there are many different schools of thought on what I'm about to say in the counseling realm and in the psychology
for sure.
profession, but you have to ask the question, where's this coming from? And
yes.
I will tell you my approach to the answer to that question is there are times when there are physiological things impacting our emotional state. Absolutely, there are hormone situations, there can be nutrition situations, there can be things going on inside the body that create these responses. That is one very real category. And when that's the case, you want to go down the road with your trusted physician. You want to explore those circumstances yeah. that may be impacting the emotion. Where I would typically reside is when those emotions are a result of something happening in the soul. something happening in the mind. It could be something that triggers, you see it as a threat, and your body begins to respond. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes you'll hear people who think they're having a heart attack, in reality, it's a panic attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Their body is completely healthy, but the symptoms are very, very similar. And so as a parent, if your child is struggling with anxiety or depression, it's really asking the Lord to help you get to the bottom of what's the source. Yes. And I would offer hope for one thing to parents, because you can start to hear these labels. My child has anxiety. My mm-hmm. child battles depression. I would say be very careful about embracing labels over your child. Sure. Sometimes we think we can just catch anxiety like a cold, or, you know, that now I have it, or it's like this chronic disease that I'm left with. And the reality is being a person is sometimes sad. Yeah. Being a person on planet Earth, we feel anxiety at times. And so just to give you a breath of hope, start the conversation with your own self mm-hmm. as you're trying to figure out, okay, what are my next steps as a parent? Start the conversation with this and then present this to your child. This is an opportunity to lead my child to the answer.
Yes.
This anxiety they're feeling, this depression that they're battling, is the opportunity to introduce them to their need for a savior.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So good.
That's the ground floor starting point. It's because you're not gonna fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's take away all illusion. And as the quote expert in the room, the counselor, I can't save anybody. Right. I can't fix your child. I can't fix your marriage, but I can lead you to the one who can. And as a parent, that's our greatest opportunity, is to take them by the hand and lead them to the one who can heal them. And so, you know, that is the reality. How do we do that practically?
Mm-hmm.
It begins with conversations. I'm noticing changes in my child. I'm seeing them begin to have these bouts of anxiety. Rather than dismiss or demean it or just put it under the rug and hope it goes away, mm-hmm. we get in their world. We begin to ask questions. We begin to be present. We begin to try to do a little detective work. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christ follower, I mm-hmm. urge you, one of the many benefits is the Holy Spirit of God. He leads you to answers that you can't get to yourself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And begin to ask for, Lord, what is it that might be going on in the life of my child? Maybe they saw something on their cell phone mm-hmm. and their soul was injured by what they saw.
Yeah.
This is very real, a very real example. And, you know, all the YouTube, the TikTok, the internet, they'll see things and their souls aren't ready to even process it.
Yeah.
Much less know how to overcome it. Mm-hmm. And so that can begin to breed all kinds of anxiety or depression. And beginning to get to the root of that so that we can then begin to take the next steps that we need to take. If it's severe enough, again, get those supports around you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the number one support in the room that God assigned. He knew that you were the one. And then get those biblical counselors, get that church community involved in supporting that child. But you don't want to dismiss it. You don't want to say, oh, it's just a kid thing and those are kid problems.
Oh, yeah.
I would say my entire journey of parenting, and one of my oldest daughters who just got married, she reminded me of this and it made me laugh. You have to be in our family, right, to fully get it. But I never thought of myself as, oh, like I said, I'm this kid person and, you know, this kid specialist. She's like, Mom, our entire life, you treated us the same as far as what we were going through as adult issues. I didn't compartmentalize and say, oh, well, your fear over here with when you're on the playground, that's kid stuff. No, I saw it as my child's fear on the playground was much like the fear that this adult had in their workplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear is a human condition.
Yeah.
And while we package it in different ways as we communicate, mm-hmm. the answer is the same.
Right.
What is the root? What is it that you're struggling with? Let's expose it. Let's allow the good news of the gospel to address it. Let's replace the feelings and thoughts that are fueling it
mm-hmm.
and let God do the healing. So it is a journey and it's complicated. It's complicated, these different elements that we battle.
It is. And I think, too, I love how you said let's expose it, because, I mean, we are of the firm belief, and this is in the Bible. I mean, the things that are kept in the darkness really tend to have power over us.
Yeah.
And that's what the enemy wants us to do, is to think that we can't tell anyone, that we're the only one. And our kids are feeling this, too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my gosh, if my parents knew what I really thought about myself, about the world, about what happened, whatever, or what I was looking at or what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, they wouldn't love me, or they wouldn't want to hear this. You know, they can't be bothered with this. It's too much for them. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. But, you know, giving our kids the opportunity mm-hmm. by asking those probing questions, and not like, I heard somebody say it, and you want to ask in literally a curious way,
yes,
and not in a judgmental way.
Oh, yeah.
And I've run that through my mind, because sometimes, even though we're not trying to be judgmental, because we feel the urgency, we can come off judgmental.
Right.
Like, what did you do? You know, and not just, hey, what'd you do today? What did you see on your phone? You know, like it's, we have to be intentional about taking that posture of curiosity instead of judgment. But I think that when we do that, we are giving them that opportunity, because I do think they want to tell us.
Yes.
They, when we've laid that groundwork, you know, we talked about discipline a few episodes ago, but that groundwork of being a safe place, of a place of security, then, you know, we want to encourage them to come back with whatever it is they're dealing with. Mm. And I think that when we're dealing with anxiety and depression, especially as kids and teenagers, it is so scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really, our thoughts can scare us sometimes. Mm-hmm. And also we can feel very helpless and hopeless even.
Yes.
And I think being a parent that allows them to expose it and say, like, listen, you can tell me. Mm. I may not know the answers, but I know the answer.
Yes.
And I also can help you get the help that you need. Like, I am here and I want to be your advocate.
Yes.
You know, I that's so empowering to a child and to a parent, you know, and, but it's hard. Like you said, I mean, this isn't easy.
Part of why it's hard is these kids are growing up in a world that is unlike any other time in history. Ooh. And I don't want to turn this into a screen time episode, but I just saw a study that said a teenager who has, you know, 5 hours or more of screen time on a phone is like ridiculously higher, statistically more likely to experience anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, all that. And the average right now of a teenager is 7 hours of phone time a day. So the average kid is well above the threshold of the mark that's going to directly lead to more anxiety, more depression, those feelings of insecurity and comparison and just all of the stuff that happens from the endless scrolling and the world these kids are and the dopamine.
Dopamine, which is the chemical that she's talking about, like the chemical imbalance sometimes.
And it's so hard to navigate that, because this is the first generation that's had to deal with that, with
the constant.
It's constant. Oh, yeah, it's just absolutely constant. And we as parents, I mean, like for us at least, I mean, we didn't grow up with that in our hands the way that these kids today have. And so it's a different world. I mean, I fight that as an adult.
Yeah, of me too.
Just scroll. I mean, I'm way too much on my phone. I've not modeled probably the healthiest behavior, and I'm trying to work on that. But I just want to throw that into the conversation as a factor. It's not the only factor, but it certainly is a factor that what these kids are, and even if they're not going to like bad things, even if they're not, you know, looking at pornography or, you know, looking at some stuff or just gratuitous violence, just social media, just too much of all that stuff, it's directly impacting mental health.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I think that goes right to the practical of what are some ways that we can help. We can't identify every possible threat or thing that may trigger our child, but cell phone use is a scientifically studied over time, you know, reality that it impacts the state of your mental health. And so as parents, just like we take care of our children that they don't run into the street when cars are coming, I think developing those processes and plans, and we all fall short. I do in my home.
Sure. Yeah,
oh, my
too.
Goodness. But even if you're starting the journey, you're already ahead of the game to begin thinking of how can I help my child learn how to even use a cell phone in a way that's going to promote health, not deteriorate health for them.
Or set limits on their phone
while
they're in your house and you're paying for it. You have more freedom to say, all right, here's going to be your phone's going to, you can have parental settings that will shut off a phone after so many hours.
We've done that before. Like if you use AT&T, you can do it there. There's other apps, you know, like that, some of these apps that filter things like pornography and violence and things like that. They can also set limits, and that's been helpful to us.
It's so helpful.
You know, I want to say this too. You were talking about getting to the root.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the phone is like, I know for a lot of girls specifically, like obviously we only have boys, but you've got three girls and one boy. So you see kind of both sides of this. But I've heard, you know, from my friends who are raising girls that a lot of times girls really struggle with different text threads and Snapchats and different comparison things they see on their phone. You know, do you see that as an issue with your counseling?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, and again, think about it. The phone is not the culprit. The phone is just a thing.
It's a tool.
It's a tool. It can be used for good. But we know, if you understand, again, diagnostically, that our enemy and our sin breaks good gifts. Mm-hmm. We break things. And so some of the ways that we use our phone in a broken way manifest for our kids. And so when they're watching their Instagram feed or they're looking at their social media or they're on Snap or seeing they weren't invited to the party, even as adults, again, our children experiencing very similar things, they begin to feel those feelings of, well, I'm not included, or I feel insecure, or I feel sad, or I feel depressed. And it's really not working from the outward in. It's triggering things that were already there, but it's stirring it up. Mm-hmm. Those inside, am I looking to people to meet the needs of my heart? Mm-hmm. And at any given time, things will expose that, wow, okay, I guess I am, or I'm feeding that inside of me. And same thing with boys, looking at their phones, if boys and girls, truly, even just pornography, as you guys talk so much about, that is such an epidemic in our children. Yeah. And at their hand, they have access, many of them, to pornographic images. Yeah. Well, it's not even the phone that's the enemy, but those images are bringing something from inside, awakening love before it is time when it's confusing. And I was created for God's gift of sex and intimacy, but I'm 9 years old. Right. I'm not ready to process this, and that's not time for me to process this. Mm-hmm. So again, can't overstate how important it is as parents to have awareness of what are we placing in their hand. Mm-hmm. In this conversation, we're talking about cell phones, but that can represent many things when it comes to our kids. And it can evoke these patterns of depression and anxiety, and they don't understand where the feelings are coming from.
And one more, like with the phone, I heard a pastor share this story. I thought it was so good. He said, I was telling my grandkid, who was like six, playing a soccer game, like, hey, I want you to go score 2 goals today. And he says, okay, Grandpa, I'm gonna do my best. And he came back after the game, and he did great, but he hadn't scored any goals. And he was like deflated and almost felt like anxious. And he was like, you know, I'm so sorry, Grandpa, I let you down. He's like, no, you know, you didn't let me down. But this pastor talking about his grandkid, he said, you know, I realized I put this burden on him. Mm. You know, I wanted to just encourage him or challenge him, but really I put a burden on him. And I said, I gave him the responsibility to do something that he didn't have the authority to do. Mm-hmm. And if you give your kids responsibility, but they don't have the authority or maybe the opportunity to carry out what that responsibility is, then we're putting burdens on them that are gonna create anxiety. And there's a fine line, I think, between wanting them to get good grades and wanting them to excel and do their best and achieve, but making sure that they know that, like, that's not how they get love, that's not their worth or their value. Mm-hmm. Because if kids feel like that they're only gonna be accepted if they reach these unattainable heights, why can't you be more like your sister or more like your brother? Wow. Or she got straight A's, why can't you get, or he made the team, why can't you make the team? And we feel like, oh my goodness, I can't measure up. And we've just gotta be careful as parents. I'm talking to myself here too, of finding that balance of, yes, we need to challenge our kids and help them become all they were intended to be and push them to let them know they can do hard things. But if we push them too hard, then we are pushing anxiety and depression right on top of them.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to point that out as well, like separate from the phones. There's so many things that can trigger anxiety. Absolutely. And I don't want us to walk on eggshells as parents thinking, I can't do anything because it's all going to cause anxiety.
Absolutely.
But to just, for all of us to be aware and to even pray, like, Lord, show me my blind spots that I might be missing signs, or I might be inadvertently creating some tension that's leading to anxiety. God, show me how I can do a better job with that.
Yeah. And to check yourself, what is the environment of my heart? Am I fueling an environment of fear because I'm an anxious parent? I mean, it's endless the places that we need to look and examine and say, hey, what is really going on here? Or am I allowing moodiness in my life to take over as an adult? And it's overflowing. It will always overflow first in your home. And so doing those self-checks and understanding that those things spill over onto our kids. And it goes back to, as a believer in Jesus, walking with him, hearing the Holy Spirit to guide you when it's time to enter into their emotions and really listen and lean in and walk them through those emotions. And when it is instructing that, hey, guess what? Great news. Our feelings don't get to be in charge of us. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be at the mercy or the victimhood of our feelings. God gives us power even over what we feel sometimes. Right. Mm-hmm. And I believe the Holy Spirit, as we lean into him, will direct us where we need to go with that particular child in that particular moment.
It's so true. I love that. I want to give one resource, and this is an old resource. I'm sure you've heard of this one, but it really helped me when I was going through counseling with anxiety and depression, and it's The Search for Significance by John McGee. Have you ever read that one?
I have. I've heard of it.
I mean, it's been around forever, and I think it's also been revised and updated, and I think there might be one specifically for maybe kids or teens.
Yeah, I think I've seen a kid or teen version.
But it helped me tremendously. Mm. Like, one of the things I really battled with was performance-based love, like feeling like I couldn't be loved unless I performed or fulfilled whatever. And I didn't even know that. That was a huge blind spot in my life. And it was eye-opening. Yeah. But it just takes you through like really recognizing it through a biblical lens. I mean, it's completely Bible-based, but it really helps you just think through those things. And there's a little journal section. And I read that cover to cover. And it was a great resource. So check that out wherever books are sold. Thank you so much, Susan, for being here. You're amazing. I know this has given all of us parents food for thought. I mean, even this is a regular conversation in our house, just since this is something we've walked through, not only ourselves and with our kids, even this conversation has helped me even think about more things.
Everybody needs a friend like Susan, where they're a great friend, but then also it's like free life coaching and counseling just by hanging out with them.
I know.
I need your coaching.
Oh, I do.
You and Brandon are awesome. But before we wrap up, sweetie, give us a fun fact.
Oh, yes.
For today.
This one, you guys, I'm just excited about this one. It's kind of, some of you may not be as excited, but this said, okay, and maybe some of you have done this, I don't know. It says, some new parents believe that eating the placenta helps prevent postpartum depression.
No.
Okay, speaking of depression,
it says
they prepare, it's come a long way. They prepare the placenta in several ways, like making a smoothie out of it.
Oh, no.
Or no, here's probably a better form. Or making a capsule out of it. I remember seeing, and this again, hold on, let me give this is from factretriever.com. I remember seeing a post about this where there's like companies that will make it into a capsule for you, but then I want to say your mom had a friend who did the placenta smoothie. I'm almost positive.
Gosh.
Yes.
Oh, it's
and your mom
mind.
Almost vomited in her mouth when she heard this. Yeah.
I feel it.
But,
mom.
But I mean, so to prevent postpartum depression.
I don't know. I feel
you're
sadder.
You're like, is that worth
right
it?
Now, I feel much sadder.
Depression's better.
In my life.
Oh, man.
She's like, I'll take the postpartum.
I'm going to throw up.
I'll take the postpartum.
I want to apologize to everyone. No, all right. I'm going to tell a really terrible dad
please,
joke.
Please. Okay. Yeah, we need it.
I wish I had one about placentas.
Well, you're thinking, I can tell you're like, how can I turn this around?
I'm thinking of like putting lasagna in a smoothie and seeing the same texture. All right, dad joke. What do you name a termite that likes watching Western movies?
I don't know what.
Clint Eastwood.
Wow, Clint Eastwood.
It's unbelievable.
That is so great. Love it. I love it.
Oh, wow. What a journey we've had.
Yes.
Susan, you are a treasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Guys. And we're so honored that you're now part of the EXO family.
That's right.
Brandon. And
stay tuned for her podcast.
Stay tuned for more on her podcast.
Yes.
But once more, you know, tell our listeners where they can find you before you do, friends. You can write Ashley and me. We're at Dave and Ashley Willis on Instagram. Send me some new dad jokes. I need them. Send us some,
some
questions.
New facts.
Whatever you got. We love hearing from you. Susan, tell us where folks can learn more about what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. Stay tuned for the exciting things coming with XO in 2024. We are just looking forward to empowering and equipping you as parents. We're in it with you. And come visit us at Keystone Church, keystonechurch.com. It's the church that I go to, that I love, that we love to lead. And we would love to have you join us.
It's an amazing church.
It is amazing.
Two thumbs up.
Love it.
If you can't go in person because you live somewhere else,
check out
their services online. Mm-hmm. An amazing place. Sweetie, any final words?
No, just thank you so much, Susan. And you guys, reach out. Like, there are resources. Reach out to Susan through Keystone. You can reach out to us. And I promise you, there are things that can help you on your parenting journey and help your children. That's why we're here. And we thank you all for joining us.